So first off, let's start off with some introductions.
Hello, I'm Scott Ferks, or Kaiser Neko. I'm sort of the director and one of the writers, along with a voice actor on the show. I voice a couple of characters, Zarbon, Gregory, King Kai, and a couple instances of Trunks here and there.
Hi there, I'm Lanny Pator, Nick Landis. I am also one of the co-writers and co-creators of Dragon Ball Z Abridged. I'm also one of the co-stars. I play Vegeta, Piccolo, Krillin, a whole bunch of just random voices every now and then, and Mr. Popo.
Hi there, I'm Curtis Arnott, or Takahata 101. I'm one of the writers and co-creators and co-actors. I play Nappa, Guru, Bardock, Dende, upcoming Cell.
So tell me a little bit about how you guys got started with the idea of doing an abridged series to begin with.
I think of the three of us, I was the first one to make one, but it all started because of Martin Bilney, Lil Karibo, who started up Yu-Gi-Oh! The Abridged series. And, you know, I came and I discovered it when I had, like, broken my back playing rugby my senior year of high school. Just kind of sitting around, I had nothing else going for me, and I discovered this late one night, and I just marathon moded through the entire thing, like all 14 episodes I think he had at that point, and I just thought, wow, that was amazing. Then I started discovering others, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to try it out, and then I started my own little solo project called Yu Yu Hakusho Abridged, which, much to my surprise, people actually started watching, and it just kind of grew from there. I'll let Kaiser tell the story of how Team Four Star came to be. But, Tak, I believe you came next with yours.
I was next. And it's weird enough, I watched Little Karibo's Abridged series. And then I started watching Berserk Abridged and, like, a bunch of other series made by actually some other team members of Team Four Star. And I just got the inspiration. Oddly enough, from Lanny's show was, like, the big kick in the butt for me. Like watching Yu-Gi-Oh! Bridge was definitely the first core experience to, like, a kind of sense of humor that I really, just something that just made fun of everything. And I really appreciate, like, a parody such as that. And I forget where I was, but in the end, one of my former colleagues started up a show, and I did pretty well. And through that, I actually got to know a lot of people. And then I watched this one show, which was made by this gentleman.
Basically, I used to make anime music videos back in the day. I'm sure everybody has seen at least one. And basically, I got started on editing because I was raised with a computer from birth, basically. And, you know, for a long time, I wasn't making anymore. I was just kind of doing on and off things, work and school. And I started seeing Martin Bilney, Little Karibo's show, Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged. And my heart nearly exploded because it's something I've always wanted to do. You know, I also love voice acting. When I was 14, I would, you know, film the DBZ on the screen and then voice over it. It was that bad. So basically, after I started watching it, you know, more and more, I got this interest in making my own show. Then I saw Yu Hakusho Abridged, which, you know, it just had so much charisma and, you know, and fun writing and great acting. And then I saw G Gundam, Mr. Takahata 101 show. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I could tell that these two guys who didn't have a whole lot to work with, and yet they were doing a lot. They were making it funny. They made it was a great show to watch. And so I decided, you know what, I really wanted to do it. And so I ended up pulling out this old DVD I had of Lupin that I'd won off of AnimeDVD.com. I popped it in, and I just started going at it. And honestly, I've never been happier since.
It just sort of, like, grew from there. I mean, Kaiser's, like, when I first saw Kaiser's episode, I'm like, holy crap, because, like, this is when the floodgates, so to speak, had opened, and, like, everybody was putting out an abridged series. And I'm like, oh, here we go, because I'd liked Lupin when it was on Adult Swim. Yeah, I'm like, oh, here we go, let's see how this guy did. And I'm watching, I'm just like, oh, my God, this is hilarious. And I think, was it me or Taka who told you to get Skype? All I remember is I ended up talking to you on Skype. Yeah, and God, just from there, I guess you started talking to Taka, and
I started talking to Kaiser a lot, and we just ended up for like a month. So we were just always chatting every night, and I asked him a question: if you could, you know, go back and maybe start it, you know, with a different series, what would it be? And Kaiser said,
"Honestly, Dragon Ball is the show I always grew up with. Dragon Ball was there when, you know, like at Saturday mornings. That was the one I always wanted to go to, and when it was running on syndication on like UPN and crap like that." And,
UPN?
Oh yeah, and where I was living, and yeah, it was it. That's the show that I absolutely adore.
And then I asked him, "Well, why don't you do it?" Well, Kaiser said, "Well, Lanny Pator and Moscow X and Vegeta were doing the what?"
Yeah, that story.
Oh, okay.
Because
yeah, he didn't want to like jump into Dragon Ball Z Abridged because at the moment, myself, Moscow X, and a guy by the name of Vegeta 3986 were currently like working on the Dragon Ball Z Abridged movies because we kept getting these messages. Those two in particular do a series called Naruto Abridged. And we kept getting messages like, "Why'd you guys do like something else?" Like, and the one that kept popping up was Dragon Ball Z. I was like, "You know what? No, we can't. Like, not an entire series, but we could do the movies, I guess." And so we decided to start abridging the movies, and then
well, finally, after so much coercion from Taka,
which inconsistent of me, then well, why don't you do it, Kaiser? Why don't you just ask them to be in the show? Well, I can't do that. You do it. Just do it. They like you. You have pull.
Yeah, most of the conversation actually did just, you know, it was just...
Do it.
Yeah, do it. So finally, I talked to Lanny about it, and I was very hesitant, and I said, "Look, I know you guys are doing the movies, but I'd really like to take a swing at doing the actual show."
And Masako instantaneously said yes.
Yeah, and when I was, like, talking about that with Kaiser, I know Kaiser. I've known his editing ability from Lupin. I'm like, you know what? With these guys, it could be fantastic. And all I really wanted was just to be on the writing team with these guys. And since agreeing, I have not regretted a day since.
So you guys got started. You decided to actually go through with it, make the show. How did you first decide on a few of the initial voices that you guys wanted to do?
We're enough. Like, we tried to keep it very consistent from the movies, giving Lanny pretty much all the characters he played in the movies. And the cast was divvied up, but upon reflection, some people couldn't really do voices that there was originally planned. So it just got down to really, can you do the voice that sells the character that we've come up with? Or just the flanderization of this of said character? And I think the only one that was kind of like a stroke of luck was when I asked to play Nappa with no real plan. Oh. Is Nappa taken? No. Oh, can I be him?
Yeah.
Okay, cool,
and then,
sweet.
And then you came up with this, this character for Nappa.
I have no idea what you mean. Nope.
But yeah, just that first night when we were like talking about all this, I mean, I hadn't yet played him, but I really wanted to play Vegeta because I always felt that I had a really good like impersonation of the Funimation dub. And Kaiser and Taka both agreed, and it was kind of settled on that. But, yeah, that entire first night when we just started scripting back and forth, we developed the dichotomy between Nappa and Vegeta. And we just knew that like, the relationship between those two characters was way too good. And, well, yeah, the first night we came up with, like, the huge punchline of the entire first season, which is Ghost Nappa.
Yeah. And, you know, not to mention, we also... came up with a lot of like we came up with a big cast list at first. Mm-hmm. I can't say that we didn't jump right on into it without much of a plan, because we sort of did. We came up with a lot of ideas the first night.
But then again, this entire thing is just for like it was just for the hell of it. You're like, we're doing this for fun, and it always has been for fun. So when it comes down to it, you know, divvying up the cast like this, but eventually we just decided to take it more seriously, and like we really wanted to make something that is really presentable.
Yeah, it really did come down to what do we want to do with the show? And in the end, we wanted to make it the best thing we possibly could. We wanted to get as many talented people in and see what we could make. It's been a passion of ours to make sure that the show is funny, it's entertaining, it's well-written, and that our passion really shows through our performances and through the work we do.
And it's just so great that not only do are all the people that we work with extremely talented, we really love working with them, but they're all just such great friends too. I mean, just working with such amazing people who are you know, not necessarily always alike in like the way we think, but we're all friends. I mean, late at night, we'll just be shooting the shit online, just doing nothing, maybe playing some Team Fortress 2 or something.
Team Fortress 2 being the only game we all collectively own, yeah. Because it was $10, because we are all very poor people.
So tell us a little about the trials and tribulations of getting it off the ground and like some of the problems maybe you've ran into with getting episodes pulled and stuff like that.
What we do is very gray in the cup. What we're doing is not technically illegal, but not technically legal. So it's the ultimate call from the people who own it, and we get caught in the crossfire of it. And overall, I like Dragon Ball Z when I was a kid. We want everyone to remember Dragon Ball Z. A lot of people, some people don't even watch Dragon Ball Z and just watch our show, which is to them, I mean, getting it off, it's a bit heartbreaking when we see something get pulled, but we know, you know, deep down inside some other people re-uploaded it or somewhere or whatnot, and it keeps it going. And that episode, there's a re-reload of episode 1 almost up to 1 million views now on YouTube. And there was another one that was up to 800 before it got pulled. It's just like, it'll just keep getting reposted and people will search for it and stuff.
It was kind of funny. The first time our episodes got pulled en masse, I was actually out of town, and I was just staying at a friend's house. And I wake up one morning, and I always mute my phone when I go to bed. I wake up, and I have about 12 missed calls. And I turn on my phone, and I call, and they're all from Lenny and Taka. And so I call, who did I call? Was it Taka?
I believe you called me.
I called Lenny.
Why
and
you call me?
Because Lenny was the last one to call, and it was the quickest. Okay. There. So Lenny, I call Lenny, and the first thing I say after he picks up is, our episodes better have been pulled if you're going to call me 12 times at night.
To which I replied, funny story. It was all just a huge shock. I mean, we've always had a pretty good rapport with the Funimation people. They generally won't acknowledge us, but we like to think that we help them by, you know, promoting the brand of Dragon Ball Z. Toei Animation, on the other hand, I don't think they quite understand exactly what we do. We aren't trying to, like, steal from them. We aren't trying to profit off their brand. We're just a bunch of fans making something that, you know, like, it's generally a parody, you know? Yeah.
And luckily, sooner or later, I was coerced into working out a way to get our YouTube account back up. And our it came back up after we like made a sub account, which is now
basically had a couple, which had almost 100,000 subscribers.
Yeah,
50.
Our sub account shot back up to 40,000 before we finally got the original account back up.
Due in part, Little Karibo posting a video and telling us where the new account is, which we really appreciated, incredibly so.
But one of the main boons that we had was we finally got a site up. Which pulls a lot of traffic now. It definitely gets a lot of people watching our show. If an episode goes down before we can get it back up, they can go to our site and watch it there. So we have two ways for people to watch the episodes, which is good for us. We want to make sure that people can watch it and continue to be entertained. So for the most part, the biggest issues we've had is episodes getting pulled.
So when you guys aren't working on Team Four Star stuff, what do you guys generally do other than Team Fortress?
Like work?
Yeah.
My day job is I work in a machining shop and I make elevator handrail paraphernalia.
Speaking of which, did your place supply the elevator handrails for this place?
No, it did not. It was the other place. This place has the hook ones. We actually just do the clamp straight onto the wall ones. But no, I work now on an industrial grade laser, and I made about 4,500 buttons last week, which was 0 to 1 to 2, all being sent to Italy. So pretty much all the buttons in Italy in the past 2 years have been made by me.
For the most part, I actually do freelance graphics design. I work on commission. Basically, people ask me to help them with their websites or help them with small little advertising things here and there. But yeah, I work on commission. I it's hard. It's I've been between jobs. I know that makes me sound like I'm not working right now, but for the most part, I'm sort of the kind of the person who likes to. If I'm not going to have the job I want, I'd rather work for myself.
Yeah, I'm generally the same way about that. I'm currently still a student, going through, going to get my degree. I work part-time at a movie theater, which kind of helps because I also like to make a lot of videos just, you know, of my personal stuff on the internet. Some stuff for a site called That Guy with the Glasses. Other stuff I just do like a random vlog. Like I'll do a lot of movie reviews. And since I work at a movie theater, hey, free movies. At my theater. I can get you guys in. Either way, just come to Minnesota. Other than that, yeah, really not a whole lot.
So doing the voice acting that you've done, have you any of you thought about trying to pursue professional voice acting?
I've actually been in the anime midstream dub of Zetai Raijin Rekano. It's I think the DVD is going to be thrown at me here in about 5 seconds. I'm in this thing as a character on the back there. I am the googly-eyed bottle of booze, and I talk like a Pokemon. And I'd personally love to get into it. I live in Vancouver, but I'm just not in a place in my life right now where I can actively pursue it, because you have to have such an open schedule, because it is... And it's not easy to get into. It's very, very competitive. And if I'm going to go at it, I'm going to go at it with all the knowledge I can. And not just going there, I'm going to do it for a living. That doesn't work that way. But, Kaiser?
Well, as I grew up, as I said, voice acting's always been something that I've really enjoyed. But, you know, as I've grown up, I found that my strengths lie in video editing and image manipulation and graphics design. Well, you know, I'd like to have faith in my own ability to act, especially since I, you know, have the goal to cast myself as something in the show.
How dare you? You only spend, like, what, 80 hours on an episode?
Well, you know, regardless, I do love acting. It is something that is incredibly fun. And I constantly want to try to improve, you know, enunciation, emotion. I want to make sure that I am a good actor, and the idea of working professionally is thrilling to me. To pursue that would take a lot of time and energy that I would love to set aside. But until I can, as silly as this is going to sound, working on this show, I don't think I could give up this show just yet. So if I have to pick between one or the other, you know, if it's too much energy to be, you know, a professional, if I ever could, not to say that I could, but to pursue that, if it takes more time to pursue that, I'd rather work on the show.
I personally, I've always loved acting, and I've been into theater and, like, high school theater, things like that. I've even been in a few radio commercials. If I could, I would love to get into it professionally. But at the same time, if it meant giving up this, I probably wouldn't. I definitely wouldn't. I mean, it would have to be something really big. Really, really big.
I need you to be the new Joker. Oh, my God.
I'm on my way. But, yeah, it's just... It is a dream. I've always wanted to.
I mean, it's cool to hear the dedication from you guys that, you know, you would definitely want to stick through this. So you guys, I mean, you're planning to stick this through to the end of the series?
If we should still be in well enough health in 2070, maybe.
You're still going to be Boo, right?
I'll be Boo. I'll destroy your Kakarot.
That's what my voice will have deteriorated into by that point.
Stop sending sleeping takes.
Ultimately, sticking it through to the end of the show is all going to depend on where our lives take us. Mm-hmm. As we said, working on the show has given us a lot. Mm-hmm. And we want to continue to work on it. And we want to see what we can make of this. But if in the end our lives take us separately, we might not be able to finish the show, which would be sad. But we've got so much already done that it means so much to us. At least we've gotten over 2 years of wonderful memories.
Going on 3 here.
So here's hoping.